willing to teach the young people.
This is not, I gather from what Brother Ken said that he's been preaching on doing difficult things. I pastored for a while, and the fact of the matter is the Lord has graciously shown me some things. And I'm just going to say it this way. You need to pray for Brother Ken. And you need to pray for Brother Jeff. And anyone that's doing those things. I don't know how else to put it. I can't really explain it. Other than when you give your life over to the ministry. And you give your life over to ministering to other people. The Lord has to put you, or at least allow you, to go through some things that basically polish you. And that polishing process is difficult. And not everybody has to go through it. You might think, well, why not? We're all going through it. No, we're not. It's true. There is a difference. God puts a difference between those that He places in leadership and everybody else. And I'm not saying anybody's below anybody. That's not the issue. But the issue is whether you realize it or not, especially you young people, when you decide to go into the ministry, be aware there's coming some trials. Trials that other people may not necessarily face. And the reason is, it has to teach you, and you need to learn, and I need to learn, that our trust is not in people. Our trust is in the Lord. And He will take care of us. You might say, well, yeah, but He lets us go through all these things and look at the terrible things that happen. And the fact of the matter is, God never does anything to destroy our faith. He always does things to make us better if we don't allow it to make us bitter. That statement, honestly, some of you will get to know. Some of you already know it. But the fact of the matter is, we need a continual reminder. God doesn't just love us to save us. He loves us to make us His own. And in order to do that, He has to do something that most of us don't like. When we get saved, you know that He tells us, that He says, we are new creatures in Christ. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are become new. Ask yourself the question, what does that mean? It means we've stopped thinking like we used to do. And by the way, this all takes time. It takes experience. Tribulation works, experience. And experience basically gives us hope because we see the Lord get us through things. Brother Ken and Brother Jeff are in a position where the Lord is having to put them through some things so that they can let you see what God can do. And it's difficult sometimes. But the fact of the matter is, it always works out best. Pray for him. Pray for your leadership in the church. Okay, that's free. But I'm telling you, it's true. It just absolutely is. When you search God's Word, you find out. I mean, look. Many of the things that we end up going through are our own fault. We make poor decisions. Does that ever happen? Of course, I'm probably the only one that ever made a bad decision. But honestly, it really can hurt us. And everybody goes through poor decisions sometimes, and we need correction. Let me ask you a question. How do you do with correction? Really? Most of us? If it's somebody we love, we may listen to it, but we'll still get mad at it. And if it's somebody that we don't know very well, or even if we do know very well, they're friends, how do we handle it? Young people, how do you like being corrected? We love it, don't we? Really. Honestly, God doesn't intend correction to hurt us. Once again, it's to make us better. Don't let correction make you bitter. When somebody goes to correct you, ask yourself the question, is it possible that I need this? Because ultimately, what does God allow in our lives? Hello? Things we need. Does He allow people to correct us because we need it? Yeah, sometimes. And we don't like it, and we live in a society that has basically taught us to be rebellious. God doesn't want rebellion. He has no use for rebellion. He will correct you until it's out of you, or He will destroy you. You have a choice. He can do that, you know. And by the way, if you be without chastisement, the book of Hebrews says, you're none of His. Hebrews chapter 12, 5 through 12, I think it is. He loves those, and He allows those whom He loves to be chastened. All those that He loves. And if you be without chastisement, the Bible says, you're none of His. Accept the chastisement and go on from there. And ask yourself the question, do I really need this? And if you don't, praise God. And if you do, change it. Pretty easy. But it's none. Anyway, that's free. That actually brings me to the message, if you'll... the title of the message actually is The Cost, Counting the Cost, and the Cost of the Loss. The fact of the matter is, everything costs money. Our purification, our sanctification, everything costs. How many in here have to pay an electric bill? Now, I don't know, maybe you're off the grid and you don't have internet, but you know what? There's an internet bill that goes along with it. And those internet bills and those electric bills and those gas bills, and by the way, if you drove in here in a car, that cost you money, and it cost you money for insurance, and it cost you money for gas, and it cost you money for oil, cost you money for maintenance. And by the way, when you go to the store and you go to buy clothes, it cost you money to buy the clothes. And guess what else? It costs you money to rebuy the clothes when you gain weight or you lose weight. So everything seems to be costing some money. Everything has a price for it. Now, it's not always the same kind of price. I mean, it might just be an energy where you have to search something out. It might just be actually in money where you actually have to work for something. Or you have to, it could be a lot of different things. Emotional stress, it could be an awful lot of things. But there's a cost to everything. Anything that's worthwhile having costs us. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Luke chapter 15. Since we're here most importantly about the Lord, let's see what He has to say about it. In Luke chapter 15, we're going to start in verses 4 through 6 and then 8 and 9. And we won't finish up, I guess, with 11 through 32, which is the prodigal son. But what we will do is, it says in Luke chapter 15, verse number 4, it says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he lay it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Drop down to verse number 8, if you will, please. "Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost." And so here we have a man who leaves his flock in searching for what he had lost. And we also have a woman who sweeps her house again to find what she has lost. And if we were to read verses 10 through 32, which is the man who whose son was a prodigal son, he gave him his inheritance. The son wasted his inheritance, and he went ahead and waited for him and prayed for him. And when he found him, he rejoiced. The fact of the matter is, these are all parables, if you will, of how the Lord has dealt with His church. and dealt with the children of Israel. The fact of the matter is, all of us were lost at one point. And Jesus' primary function in this world when he came was to do what? Seek and to save that which is lost. So the Lord is still, if you're here this morning, and I don't know that anybody is, but if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I assure you, he is seeking after you. He will do what's necessary to try to get a hold of your heart so that you might learn to call him Lord and trust him to save you. But what does it cost, if you will, to seek that thing which is lost? The Lord's obviously most concerned about people because he created us. Do you think the Lord is really concerned about material possessions? Hello? No. Why? Why not? He can create those. By the way, he can create people too, but the fact of the matter is, he created us because he loves us. And we were made in God's image. That's what the Bible says. And so we're very important to God. By the way, did he allow animals to be sacrificed? Yes. So this idea, and please don't be offended, but this idea that animals are on the same plane with human beings is absolutely false. But there are those who would tell you that God's just as interested in the animals as he is in the people. And the truth of the matter is, nothing could be farther from the truth. I'm not saying that God's not interested in what we do with animals. If you were to go to several verses in the Bible, it talks about how we treat our animals. That's very important, because how we treat our animals reflects our heart. And that's important to God. So to start with, we look at what God's interested in, and we find out that what he's interested in, basically, he's interested in saving the world. And he says that a soul is worth basically everything that is in the world. If we were to go, and you're welcome to turn there if you like, but if you were to go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, here's what the Bible says. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So every so often, if you will, we need to be reminded of the cost that it was for the Lord, not just to save us. But let me tell you something. Everybody that's in here, somebody has invested something to make it possible for you to hear the truth and come to Christ. The Lord didn't send the angels to deliver the news, the good news. Do you know who he sent? Whoever it was that led you to Christ. It may have been in a church. It may have been in a home. It may have been out shopping. It may have been somebody knocked on your door. It could be a whole lot of different things. But the fact of the matter is, God sent somebody to tell you the truth. You may have heard it from the Gideons. You may have heard it from a lot of different places. But it's the Lord that set all that up so that you would hear it and respond to the truth. So what does it cost? Well, what did it cost the Lord? Let's take a look at some verses. Turn to John chapter 3. They told me that since the clock died, I can just preach all afternoon. Okay, I lied. That's what the altar's for. The Bible says in John 3:16, and we know this verse, and it's a good one to read because it is the gospel. For God so loved what? Now, does that mean the globe? No. Does that mean the universe? No. It means you and I, and everybody that's in the world, or everybody that will ever be in the world, or anyone that's ever been in the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So he loved you and I so very much, and we often forget this, that the Father, the Heavenly Father, the one we call our Heavenly Father, loved you so much that he gave the most precious thing that he could give so you could go to heaven and I could go to heaven. Now, how many in here have children? How many are children? Every one of us in here are children of somebody. Now let me ask you a question. Who in here would sacrifice their child so that I could go to heaven? If we were to be honest, probably none. Maybe my wife would. But likely as not, she wouldn't. The fact of the matter is to sacrifice your children for somebody else, particularly somebody else that hates you. We didn't come to Christ when we loved him. We came to Christ when we were his enemies. We were born that way. Just like a pear tree bears pears, we were born sinners and we sin. And what sin is doing those things that God says not to do and not doing those things that God says we're supposed to do. And despite the fact that we did that, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we're shaking our fist in his face, doing what we want, which is contrary to the book, God says, I love you, and I'll give my only son so that you can come be with me for eternity. Man, that's incredible. It is. And we forget that. We forget what it cost him to do that. You might say, well, yeah, but Jesus is God. I've got news for you. When you start making the excuse for all the sacrifice that the Father's done, you better ask yourself a real important question. Am I what I claim to be? The sacrifice is huge. Any more than it would be if you had to give your children up for somebody else. He loved us so very much that he gave. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, and we read it basically when we're talking about Easter, which is coming up very soon. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. So it would be like taking the worst murderer that you can think of and you killing yourself for that murderer, so they can go free. I doubt seriously that any one of us in this room would do that. Why? Well, they're a murderer. They're awful. They're horrible. They're against society. And what do you think we were before we came to Christ? All of that and more in God's eyes. Because we took God's word and we went, I don't need. And I don't care how old we were when we got saved, we were still rebellious against God because that's what we were born as, sinners. And we're sinners now, for those who know Christ, sinners saved by grace. Isn't that wonderful? Hokey smokes. You guys are not Pentecostal. Man. That's excellent. But you know what? The Lord didn't stop there. The Lord saved us, basically. He witnessed his son's cries. And I'm not the father, obviously. And I mean, I am a father, but I don't know how it would be for the heavenly father. The Lord knew all of this from before the foundation of the world because it was already set up. But nonetheless, he heard his son's cry on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That would break my heart. And no doubt it broke his heart. But it broke his heart for you and me. Because he saw, and Jesus is the next one, the cost to Christ. When he's hanging on this cross, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Do you know who that joy is? Do you know what that joy is? That he was rejoicing in while hanging on the cross. Do yourself a favor. Look in the mirror this afternoon and say, I'm that joy. Look at your husband or your wife or the person sitting next to you and say to yourself, that's the joy that Jesus endured the cross for. He didn't endure it for no reason. He did it for you and me. To pay a price. A very high price. A price so high that no human being can pay it. As a matter of fact, all the human beings on the earth collectively can't pay it. He's the only one who could pay that price. And he did it for you and I. Let me ask you a question. What are you willing to pay to help somebody that's lost be found? That's the question we ought to ask ourselves all the time. Because that's one of the things that the Lord commanded us to do. So he listened to his son cry. And the fact of the matter is, it cost a great deal, more than we can even begin to imagine. Not only did it cost the father, and I need to read this verse only because to me it's so very important. The fact of the matter is, it cost us not just a little bit. But the Bible says that Jesus, if you will, was grieved. And he was grieved for a reason. His blood had to be shed. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse 22 basically says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. A lot of people today, where they want to take out the blood of Christ. You can't take it out and have Christianity. You cannot take it out and be saved. Jesus' death is not the thing that saved us. Jesus' blood saved us. And he says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And we need to keep that in mind when people try to tell us, well, hey, that's just a bloody religion. You don't need to have that a part of it. And the truth of the matter is, we do. He purchased the church with his blood. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And by the way, for those that are in leadership, that verse is for you. Take heed. By the way, that's what Ken's trying to do. That's what others have done down through the ages. As they've tried to take heed over the flock of God, to protect it. And you know how that's received a lot of times? As though they're cruel. As though they're mean. How many know what excommunication is? What is it? Go ahead. Tell me what it is.
Being put out of the church.
Right, church. Why do you church somebody?
To spare the flock.
To spare the flock, actually. And by the way, you know why? There's another reason. There's always two reasons in this. The other reason is so that the person that gets churched, if you will repent and come back. And so how should the church receive somebody that's been churched? After they repent, with open arms. Exactly. Do we do that? Oh no, we'll gossip about the person until they're absolutely destroyed. And there's no hope for them to be reconciled. Don't do that. By the way, could it happen here? Sure. It can happen in any church, and it does. And the fact of the matter is, it doesn't need to happen that way. God doesn't chastise people to destroy them. He chastises them to draw them back to himself. And then a lot of times what we end up doing during the chastisement, even if we're churched, we get so angry because somebody would dare to do that we miss the point. And the point is, God intends to draw us back to himself. And by the way, you as a congregation, me as an individual in a congregation, when that happens, it should break our heart. We ought to mourn that somebody would have to have that done to them. But you know what? If they repent and they're willing to change and turn, we ought to be more than willing to say, welcome home. And by the way, it shouldn't take hundreds of years for them to be welcomed back either. Oh yeah, I welcome you, but just stay clear of me, buddy. That's not Christianity. Jesus died for you and I who were the enemy. It cost a great deal. It's extremely difficult for him. He gave his life for the sheep. John chapter 10, verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. John 10, 18 says, no man taketh it from me, talking about his life, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. So, basically, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, I love Hebrews chapter 12. The Bible says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. The fact of the matter is, we haven't. We live very comfortable lives for the most part. We don't know for the most part, and this is not true for everybody, we don't know for the most part what it's like to have to pay the ultimate price for something we hold really dear. I know that lots of people lost fathers, mothers, children during wars. They're still losing. And we rightly ought to honor those people. They're paying a huge price. But you know what they're paying a huge price for? You and me. There are those, basically, who don't care. And the fact of the matter is, if it's somebody else's son or daughter, if it's somebody else's brother, it's somebody else's father or mother, we ought to care a great deal. And if they're folks that we know, and by the way, I understand people die all the time, but will you be willing to understand that death is not the worst thing that can happen to us as Christians? The worst thing that can happen to us as Christians, basically, is that we die and go straight to heaven. What a terrible thing that'll be, won't it? No. The ones that remain are the ones that are sad. The ones that remain are the ones that are hurting. Hurt with them. It's a good thing to do that. Jesus died on the cross for you and me. But you know what? It wasn't just Jesus that suffered. It wasn't just God the Father that suffered. It was also, if you will, many Christians down through the ages have suffered. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11, please. I wasn't going to read all of these verses, but I'm going to anyway. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, what is Hebrews chapter 11? The faith chapter, okay? Without faith, it's what? It's impossible to please God. And in Romans chapter number, or I'm sorry, in Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm only in chapter 10. Here it is. I'd like you to go down all the way to chapter 35. Or chapter 11, verse 35. The Bible says, women received their dead raised to life again. That's a neat thing, isn't it? Look what it says for the rest of it. And the Bible says, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. What resurrection would that be that's a better resurrection? Hello? Pardon? Go ahead.
Their own.
Their own resurrection. Where? Heaven. Let me tell you something. Those of us that die in Christ, our bodies will be gone, but guess what? We'll be changed. Changed in an instant. In the twinkling of an eye. We'll meet the dead, and we'll be the dead, and we'll meet the living in the air that are Christian, if we're dead. We'll meet the living in the air with Christ, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Man! So this is not all there is. Don't live like this is all there is. You might say, well, come on, that's easy for you to say. Yeah, it is a little bit easier to say I'm a lot closer to heaven than most of you in this room. And that's all right. Praise God he's allowed me to live as long as I have. But the fact of the matter is, one day every single one in this room will die or be changed. I'd rather be changed personally, but that's okay. That's up to him. not up to me.
And the Bible goes on and it says about all of these people that went on before us, and it says, and others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. Check this out. They were sawn asunder. Now, do you think they were dead when they were sewn, when they cut them up in pieces with a saw? No, they were not. They were alive. Man is incredibly cruel. Anyway, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Notice what verse 38 begins with. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. These folks, when they got saved, lost it all. If you're Jewish, and we've known some folks that got saved that were Jewish, and guess what? Their family held funerals for them. They lost everything. And by the way, everything in this world, basically, isn't worth holding on to for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. The truth of the matter is, we are here because somebody else sacrificed a great deal so that you can be here and be saved. We lose sight of that because we begin to think we're the only ones. We're the only generation that's ever done this. And the truth is, we're not. So what's the price of the loss worth to you? Are you willing to give up anything so that somebody else might be saved? By the way, I have talked to lots of people that not only have never led somebody to Christ, but wouldn't even know how. And shame on a Christian that doesn't know how to lead another person to their Savior. How do you lead somebody to Christ? The same way you were led to Christ. There is only one way. Tell them of Christ. Tell them of His death and His burial and His resurrection for you. That's how much He loves you. That's how much He loves them. Isn't that wonderful? You say, that's too easy. Oh no, it's not. Because we don't save anybody. We just go and tell. We're just a mouthpiece. And by the way, if they don't like what you're saying, okay. It's not you they don't like. It's Christ. They're not willing to accept it. They're not willing to accept the fact that they're lost, deserving of hell's fire. We are because we know the truth. And the truth sets you free. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Dang. Boy, you guys. So what will it cost you? If you're saved, it costs you time and tears. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalms 126, 5 and 6, please. The Bible tells us that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost, which is for us. And Mark 16:15 tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let me ask you a question. Has every creature in Petersburg been told the truth of Christ? I doubt it. Has everybody in Toledo been told the truth of Christ? No. Has everybody in Michigan been told the truth of Christ? Absolutely not. And there are those who will shake their fist in His face, and still are, and they're lost. But you know what? Some of us that got saved later on in life, that's exactly what we did before we got saved. And finally, the Lord got a hold of me. I was 32 years old before I got saved. Some of you aren't even there yet. And you know what? He changed my life. And I understood right away, the most important thing in your life is what Christ has paid for you. In Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, they that sow in what? Tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with us. How much do you think the world rejoices when you try to tell them the truth? They don't. What? Nobody likes to hear that you're a sinner on your way to hell.
Do they? I mean, come on. How many in here? Raise your hand if you're one of those that loves to be corrected. Anybody? That's our problem. And you know what? You can't be corrected if you're not saved. Most of the time. Unless the Lord gets a hold of your heart. And even when we are saved, how many in here like to be corrected? Well, good. You're human beings. By the way, who has the right to correct you? The book. And those that handle the book. And those that know the truth. Jesus Christ has every right in the universe to correct you. And by the way, He will. We may not like it if He has to do it. Unless we're reading our word, reading His word, and it comes off the page at us. How many have ever been reading God's word and all of a sudden something just almost leaped off the page at you and convicted your heart and it said to you, you need to change in this area and you know it. If you haven't experienced that, you haven't been reading much. The fact of the matter is, that's what God wants. He wants to get a hold of us when it's easy, not when He has to chastise us to do it. So, we find here, they that sow in tears. What does that mean in verse 5? What is the sowing part? What are you sowing? The gospel. The word of God. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between soul and spirit. And you know what it's designed to do? Cut. Cut out the bad to let the good in. And the fact of the matter is, those that sow in tears, you know what those tears are? When we have to go correct somebody, you know what? Go in tears. Why? It shows you are humble about it. Do you know that every single one of us could be guilty of any sin that we could even begin to think about? By God's grace, we're not. Say, well, I'd never do that. You're too proud. Given the right set of circumstances, given the opportunity, you would do anything because this flesh is wicked. You can't trust this flesh. You know what? God saved us in the midst of it. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we were going, boy, I sure do love you, Lord. No. When we were doing this. You know what? The Bible tells us basically it costs us to do that. It costs us time and tears, and that's what this is all about. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. When you witness to somebody of what happens to them because of their sin, it ought to break your heart because that's exactly what you and I deserve. And you know what? If you know Christ as Savior, it's not going to happen. What we deserve is hell's fire. You know what we're going to get? Heaven for eternity because of Christ. Woohoo! Man. I'm telling you, that thrills me no end. And it ought to thrill our soul. And it ought to make us shout for joy for the wonderful, wonderful sacrifice that Jesus gave for you and I. But you know what? None of us are that bad. We're here in church. We're not that bad. Really? Let me tell you something. If the Lord exposed everything that you are and you think and you do to everybody else, we would all be appalled. But you know what? Until ours was exposed to everybody. Praise God, when you come to Christ, you know what they'll see? Christ. That's it. Wow. You mean all those bad things that I think and did are gone? They're gone. They're under the blood. Oh my goodness. If we only knew what If you only could think about it, just think about what the Lord has done for you.
Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 15 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how shall they preach except they be sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Do you think salvation is a good thing? So let me ask you a question. Does it cost us anything to be a Christian? Actually, no. Everything that we have as Christians comes from the Lord. Should we be willing to give it out to others? And you know what? A lot of times we're just too shy, or we don't want to know, or we're too afraid of what other people are going to think. You know, if somebody doesn't get saved, they'll go straight to hell when they die, and we never know when that's going to happen. It's a price that everybody would have to pay were it not for Christ. What are you willing to give of yourself so somebody else can go to heaven? It's a reasonable question. Because you know what? We'll think about it one day. If you're lost, truthfully, it'll cost you everything. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Galatians chapter 6, verse 15 says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything," meaning works, "nor uncircumcision," meaning works, "but a new creature." So I'm going to ask you here today, honestly, are you a new creature? Everything costs something. What is your salvation worth to you? And you know what? Ask yourself the question, would I be saved if somebody else hadn't told me the truth? The answer to that for everybody in this room is no. God didn't send angels to tell us the truth. God didn't send other creatures to tell us the truth. He sent you and I to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How many does that leave out? None. Somebody hadn't told you, you wouldn't be saved today. Are you willing to go and tell somebody else the truth? The fact of the matter is, what's the cost? See, part of our problem is we have a very easy life. We don't want to mess it up. We have the things we want. We have the things we need for the most part. We're looking forward to getting older, going on vacations, retiring someday maybe, doing all of those things. But let me ask you a question. When you get to heaven, and the Lord asks you, how many are you bringing with you? Most people will have to say, none. Because they never talk to anybody about the world. There's 8.5 billion people in the world. Do you think there's somebody out there that's lost that you might tell the truth to? Somebody in your home? Somebody that's your neighbor? Do you love them enough to tell them the truth? Because they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. It's not a pride issue. It's a humility issue. You deserve hell. I deserve hell. I'm not going there. Not because I'm a good guy. Not because I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm not going to hell simply because Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for my hell. I make it personal. Make it personal, and guess what? You want to tell somebody else. I've known people whose children were on their way to hell and they didn't know enough to tell them how to go to heaven. My question to them is, are they saved?
Guess what I found out? Some are not. Do you know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? If you fell dead right this instant, would you go to heaven? And if so, when you got to heaven's gate, and the Lord says, "Why should I let you in?" Would you know enough to say, "Jesus died for me"? That's the question. The cost? Cost the Lord everything. Cost to us? Minimum. But you know what? He expects us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every preacher. Who are you going to tell this week? Those who might be in school. Those who might be out on the job. Those who might be driving around. Those who might be on vacation. Do you know people still die on vacation? Do you know that? Sure. Who are you going to tell? Preach the gospel to every creature. If you're not here and saved today and know it, if you died right this instant, you don't know you'd go to heaven. I assure you, it's strictly through Jesus Christ. And all you need to do is ask. And trust that His death and His burial and His resurrection were for you. Isn't that marvelous news? It's free to us. Huh? Father, I do thank you for each one of us here today. Help us to remember, Lord, that it may cost our physical body something to tell others of Christ. It may cost us emotionally to tell others of Christ. It may cost us not just physically, but financially. But the fact of the matter is, we know for sure we're on our way to heaven because you paid the ultimate price. And when we leave this body behind, the fact of the matter is, at that instant, we'll be with you in glory. I'm reminded of Stephen, whom they took down and stoned, and he looked up to heaven as they were stoning him, and you welcomed him home. And so shall he ever be with the Lord. And so will we. Father, please bless each one that is here. Help us to be reminded every day of the friends that we talk to, the acquaintances that we run into, the people that we talk to in the stores or other places at work, that, Father, they need the Savior just like we do. And without Him, they have no hope. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here this morning. We have a